welcome to Everything Co-op, bringing you information on how cooperatives can help improve your quality of life. This show is being sponsored by the National Co-op Bank, NCB. The NCB is dedicated to strengthening communities nationwide for the delivery of banking and financial services for the nation's cooperatives, their members, and other socially responsible organizations. For more information on the power of community ownership, visit ncb.coop. That's ncb.coop. Now stay tuned for your host, Vernon Oakes.
Good morning. Welcome to Everything Co-op. This is Vernon Oakes. You know, this is Women's History Month, and the theme for Women's History Month is women who advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we have such a lady with us this morning. Renee Sadie White is with us this morning. She is the president and chief executive officer of Afro-American Credit Union Coalition. Good morning, Renee. How are you doing?
Good morning, Vernon. Thanks for having me. I'm doing just great.
Fantastic. So what is the Afro-American Credit Union Coalition?
The African-American Credit Union Coalition is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, kind of like the Black Accountants, the National Association of Black Accountants, something of that nature. So what we do is we are an organization that really provides professional development for African Americans, but our organization is extremely inclusive. While we don't want the name to fool you, the African American Credit Union Coalition is a very inclusive organization for all credit union professionals and vendors.
Okay, so how many members do you have?
2,700 members and growing strong. 42 corporate partners. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. And all of the leagues. So in co-op land, credit unions have credit union leagues. There's about 36 leagues across the country. Every last one of those leagues belong to AACUC.
Okay. So Renee, where did you grow up? And I'm really wanting, I'll keep asking you questions. Did we figure out how you got into this co-op world, particularly this financial institution, credit union? So where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego. I was born in Texas. When 6 months later, my dad said my mama had to come out there. He was in the Navy. So I grew up in Southern California and went to school in National City, San Diego, and went to college in Los Angeles area.
Fantastic. So I like San Diego. It's a very, very nice place. Great weather, great people. So that's where you grew up and went to school. Did you learn about co-ops while you were in school?
Oh, heavens no. Let's see. How did that work? I don't think I got into credit union land until November 1992. So before that, I worked at a little, I hate to say this word out loud. I worked at a bank called City National Bank in Beverly Hills. And that was my start in the financial world. And then I left Los Angeles and moved to Atlanta, Georgia. In Atlanta, Georgia, I hooked up with a credit union marketing firm, a credit insurance, life and disability insurance company, and we were marketing to credit unions, and that's how I fell into the credit union landscape, that arm of co-op.
Fell into it. Okay. Fell into it.
Yeah. So, as a trainer. They needed a trainer. They needed someone to run their training department, and so I was able to develop and create their training department, the in-house training department for that organization.
Okay. San Diego, L.A., then Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
I like all of those places. But I would like to know then, how did you get into the Afro-American Credit Union Coalition?
So what I didn't say, Vern, is that I'm the possibility of people serving other people passionately. So I'll say that again. I'm the possibility of people serving other people passionately. And I learned about the AACUC through a man named Hubert Hula Hoosman Jr. And he was a president of a credit union. And when I worked at the insurance marketing company, we had done articles and we had been in correspondence and I never knew who he was. And his name, because it was Hubert Hoosman, I just assumed he was a white man. Mm-hmm. And so when I met him he was an African American. I'm like, oh my gosh, an African American president of a credit union? What? Mm-hmm. They exist. And so that's when I found out about the ACUC. They were just creating this organization, and he brought me in to do. I was a technical writer at the time, and I used to write grants. And they did a grant for an internship program, so they brought me in, and helped write the grant. We were awarded, and I fell in love with the AACUC. And I've been around ever since. And that's probably been about, I don't want to say it, but over 25 years.
Over 25 years.
Yes, yes. I've been associated with this organization for over 25 years.
Wow, I did not know it has been in existence that long. So why is there a need for credit unions? I mean, you said you worked at a bank, and bank is supposed to loan you money. You put your deposits in there, and you get your money back. And so why is there a need for credit unions?
So credit unions are a different type of animal, if you will. So for a financial institution, banking's return on investment is, their ROI is about profits. When you're looking at, and so you can have shareholders that have a large amount of money that they're holding in investment of that financial institution of a bank. But at a credit union, everybody, it doesn't matter how much money you put in that credit union, there's one member, one vote, one voice. And so what that means is that if I put $50,000 in a credit union, if I have $5,000 or $5 at a credit union, my voice matters. My one vote, my voice matters. And with the credit union system, the motto is people helping people. You don't get that in those terms at a bank. Credit unions will go through brick walls to make sure that their members are serviced in a great way. The results are not based on profits. Can credit unions make a profit? Certainly, but that's not the main goal. The main goal is to make sure that their members' financial needs are taken care of with products and services that meet their needs where they are. And that's the difference between, one of the differences between a bank and a credit union. A credit union is there to understand you, to help you with your financial journey. Most times, most often, banks are there to collect money and fees. At credit unions, they do much more than that. There's really a push for financial literacy and helping you build wealth.
What do you mean by financial literacy?
So financial literacy, understanding how to budget, understanding why you need insurance products, understanding why you need wealth building products, understanding what a mortgage is, understanding the difference between a credit card and a charge card. Those things that especially people of color have not been privy to so much. The systemic racism that this country has endured for years has not left a level playing field. And so credit unions do a good job of creating a level playing field. When banks would not loan to certain groups, that's why credit unions were created. A group of people pulled their monies together to lend to one another. And that's how credit unions were started, because banks would not lend to certain groups of people. And so when you're looking at the underrepresented or the underserved, that's what credit unions do best. They serve the people of communities in different sectors that aren't being taken care of by banks.
So financial literacy is getting knowledge about money.
Absolutely. Getting knowledge about money and
How to make your money grow. Okay. All right. I have a little bit of that knowledge. I might need some more, though. I need some more money. Okay. So financial needs of the members are met. People helping people. So you said that the co-op is about people helping people, and your possibility is of people serving people passionately. So Absolutely. You personally want to be somebody that helps people with passion. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I have it that banks need collateral in order to make a loan. They need the person that's borrowing the money to have assets, to have a home, to have a car, to have some land, to have some bonds, to have some stocks. They'll make a loan to somebody, and the bank's main purpose, I think, are two. One is, how much money can they make? Well, first is they want to make sure they get their principal back. And secondly, they want to make money. Those are the two main things that they're there for. And the way they can make sure they get their principal back is to only loan people that already have assets. Because if they say, if you, Renee, decide you want to start a business and you need $100,000 to start the business and you go into a bank to get that $100,000, they may loan it to you, but they're going to make sure that they get their money back. So they're going to look at where else can they get it besides the business. What else do you have that you can pledge for that loan? And that's how they make money. Does the credit union do the same thing in loaning money?
So yes, but there's a different aspect to it. So there's a different way of looking at it. All financial institutions need to get their money back on the principal. All financial institutions are going to do unsecured loans and secured loans. So what happens is the adjudication of the loans are dependent on lots of factors. How long you've been on your job, how long you've been in your house, if you own property, those types of things, all that criteria. The difference between the banks and the credit unions are there's a relationship with credit unions. When you have a relationship with your banker, someone who's helping you with your money, they can trust you. They'll know your track record. At a bank, you don't normally have a relationship with your banker. But if you have a relationship with your credit union person, they're going to help you. They're going to help guide you. So the same criteria still exist, because you don't want to make the NCUA would look at us crazy if we're regulated by the National Credit Union Administration, if we didn't have guidelines in place. So those guidelines are still the same, but it's how it's adjudicated. What's also looked at, there may be some other factors. So for instance, a commercial, because you're talking about basically commercial or business loan. So for a business loan, if I've been with the credit union for 10 years and they can see I've got an ample amount of money, or I've been consistent about paying off my debt to that credit union, they may take a chance on me for that $100,000 loan for my entrepreneur endeavor, especially if I have other things to back it up. So that's only sound business. So it's not that credit unions don't have, we do sound business as well, but our guidelines aren't as stringent in terms of access. I think credit unions provide more access than banks will.
So if somebody wants to borrow money to buy a computer, to buy a car, pay off their debt, then we talk about on the commercial side a loan for business, then they can go to a credit union and possibly get those products. You say the credit union have products for the blacks, yes, and the browns and indigenous folks, mm-hmm, people that don't normally have a lot of assets. Okay, yes. You can get started and get that relationship built.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't see why there's a need for African American Credit Union Coalition if credit unions do this. I mean, so why do you
okay.
need?
Okay, so our organization is gathered of professionals, right? So in the credit union space, just isn't so. This a good way to describe ACUC is we are the NAACP of the credit union industry. That's how I like to think about us. Not that we are a watchdog at any point, but I believe that our organization provides a conscience to our credit union movement, our area of co-op. And what I mean by that is with our organization, we celebrate diversity. We celebrate people of color. That doesn't often happen in the mainstream of credit unions. And so that's why we were created. That was not happening in the mainstream of credit unions, that people of color were not celebrated as much as their counterparts. And so that's why we were created. That's why we exist as a 501c3 nonprofit. We are not a credit union. We are an organization that works with people who work in credit unions. So at every level, the regulators, insurance providers, vendors, software companies, trade organizations, credit union leagues, and credit unions. And credit union professionals. So that's who belongs to AACUC.
How do you celebrate black and brown people?
Wow. AACUC has different events that we do, and we celebrate with awards. We have a Young Professionals Award. We have the Peak Career Lifetime Achievement Award. We have the Maurice R. Smith Leadership DEI Awards. Those awards celebrate people who are doing extraordinary work in our system who probably wouldn't be recognized any other place. So that's one of the things that we do. We also celebrate with our conferences. In our conferences, we have panels and speakers that look like you and I. In this credit union industry, can you imagine being a person who's working at a credit union and seeing on the stage six African Americans who are running credit unions that have $1 billion in assets? That's the big kahuna in credit union land. If you've got $1 billion over in assets for your organization, and we've got presidents leading that. So for our membership to see that they can reach higher levels, we offer opportunities for people to volunteer with our organization and to be in the spotlight nationally. We were blessed in 2022 to receive what I consider the equivalent of the Nobel Peace Prize of the credit union industry, provided by the National Credit Union Foundation. It was called an Anchor Award, and that award is given out not every year, but very sporadically and at a special pivotal moment in the credit union industry. And it's the award is given to someone or an organization that anchors the credit union system. And so the credit union movement has said, yes, ACUC is doing great work in anchoring us in this DEI space, in making sure that we understand how we have to help every people, all people, not just people who look like what used to be the majority. We now have a colored majority. The census are showing that white people are not going to be leading the United States. At some point, we've got to make that business transition.
So you said that AACUC also does this professional development. I know in co-ops, there are principles. There are seven principles, and you all have added an eighth principle, which is DEI. But the fifth principle is my favorite, and that is education, training, and information. So what do you do in professional development? And I'm having it that your first job in a bank or somebody's first job at the credit union may be a teller, a cashier. And how do they get the kinds of training and development where they could be running that billion-dollar credit union someday down the road?
Well, Brendan, thank you for asking that question. At ACUC, we have lots of training courses. One of them, it's a training academy with our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Leadership Academy for Financial Professionals. Now, certainly because we are ACUC and DEI is one of our focuses, that academy is very important. I'm extremely proud of that academy, and our sponsor for that is CQ of North Carolina, the second largest credit union in the world. They house our DEI Leadership Academy. And our dean is Michelle Neron, a professor at Yale. That academy is just what you said. It gives an employee more information about diversity, equity, inclusion, and what does that look like in the financial arena. We also have a course called the Rosemary Brinkley Leadership Development Program. That program, that's one that is really keen to my heart because it is something that, so for instance, we have all these different trade associations that are part of our credit union movement, CUES, Credit Union Executive Society, the America's Credit Union System, America's Credit Unions. They are trade organizations that do professional development. Well, those are mainstream things, right? And what you said was, how can my people learn how to run these billion-dollar credit unions? Well, in order for us to do that, we have to have exposure. Mm-hmm. So part of what the Rosemary Brinkley Development Program does is it teaches concepts that wouldn't normally be taught to people of color if they haven't gone to business school, but they're going to go to these different trainings. We don't want them to be or feel less than. So we give them prep training, if you will. We give them information about what a 360 is, all those different business terms and leadership that you would come across, but maybe you don't have exposure to. So we can train on that. We also have a mentorship program, two different types of mentorship programs. One mentorship program is for a person who is a manager level and below. And then we have another one that's for an executive level and above. And so those things are really important in terms of making sure that there's professional development. Also, we're just getting ready to launch one that I call off-the-shelf professional development, soft skills development, grammar courses, things that are just going to help you with your edge, how to get a little bit better. And then, of course, we have a monthly call called Commitment to Change. And it's a commitment to change call where we meet for 1 hour. And Vernon, there's a stereotype about Black people that we have CP time. We don't have CP time at AACUC. We start on time and end on time. So every third Friday at 1 o'clock, we have an hour worth of conversation, riveting conversation, usually spirited with panel discussions. It could be financial literacy. It could be Women's Month. It could be mental health issues. Microaggressions, what it's like to be in the C-suite, the all types of different information that can help you be a better professional. And so, again, many opportunities, and we invite our vendors to do some technical training as well. So with AACUC, there's a gamut of making sure that people have a plethora of information along with our website and resources. There's so much that you can get and learn, and we have strategic partners that we pull in to help with that professional development as well.
So what is your website?
It's www.aacuc.org. Again, that's www.aacuc.org.
So anybody out there that's listening that wants to get into the credit union space or already working in the credit union space, you may want to advance. You may want to go up the career ladder. This is one way of doing it and getting the skill sets that you need by people that want to help you. Okay. The people that want to see you succeed. And yes, we don't always get that in Black people, brown people, indigenous people, not in this 400 years in the United States. And we've got to get out and vote in November. Got to get out and vote in November because we don't want to go backwards.
Right.
Don't want to go backwards. You smile a lot. And so for those of you out there, we're on the radio, but we are talking through Zoom. Okay? And so I can see her, she can see me. And when she is talking, boy, she just brightens up. You know, and we've got this financial literacy and this smile. Is this sort of your life work?
You know, when I was much younger, I saw The Wiz, Stephanie Mills, and I just knew I was going to be famous and sing for the rest of my life. That was my passion at the time when I was 12 years old. Well, I still carry around my Sharpie in case anybody wants an autograph. But I think that this movement has chosen me, and to whom much is given, much is required. And I am truly blessed to be in a space where I'm able to use the gifts and talents that have been bestowed upon me to help other people. When I tell you I'm the possibility of people serving other people passionately, it lights me up. I created that possibility over 20 years ago, and every morning that I say it, I still get lit up about that. And that's why co-ops are so important. And on the financial side, the credit unions are so important. People helping people, that's truly the motto. I mean, that's the whole mission. And the fact that credit unions were created to help the underserved, how can I not be passionate about that?
So mine is voice. My mission, my passion is voice. And that is V. Vernon O. Oaks, I inspire, C. communities, E. everywhere. Vernon Oaks inspires community everywhere, and particularly since I've had this radio show. So I'm looking to how can I help people have a better quality of life by giving them knowledge and understanding. And I see this whole co-op world as a way of people, if they can get in it, if they just choose to get in it and understand it and learn about it, they can increase their wealth. And in doing increasing their financial wealth, they can also live a longer life and a better quality of life. How do you guys help to Blacks to increase the financial wealth?
That's a really good question. We're working with different vendors, and we're creating something called Generation Boost. And what that is looking at how we can help younger people start early about what they need to know. For instance, if I had known that years ago that I had a business, if I had known better, instead of buying a car, I would have leased a car. Those different things that you don't know when you don't have a whole lot of people talking to you. There's not a whole lot of experience. And so what AACC is able to do is to provide information that can help you move forward. At our conferences, we have people who are talking about wealth building and what that looks like in the African-American community, what that looks like, whatever age you are. In April, April coming up, Financial Literacy Month, we have two young people who I'm excited about who are going to teach us about stocks and bonds and wealth management. What does that look like? And so where AACC can fill in the gap for our membership is at making sure that they have the resources to go take a look, that they know which credit unions can help them do that. And so we're excited about that.
I'm excited also, and I may want to come to your meeting and learn or talk to these two young people. But we're going to take our first break. And, Renee, I would like for you, when we come back on the other end of the break, if you can talk to us a bit more about this financial literacy and any examples or testimonials you have about what people have already done. We'll be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vernon Oakes, and the program is Everything Co-op, and we're talking to Renee Sadie White, and she's the president and the CEO of African American Credit Union Coalition. And we were talking right before the break of ways that AACUC is helping folks to get financial wealth. How do you get more money? How do you get more money? And one way you were telling us is through knowledge, through education. So give us some examples of how you're helping people to get more money. And I'm very much interested if you have any people, you don't have to say their names, but maybe describe if you've worked with anybody, you've seen people really in these 25 years you've been with AACUC, okay? If you've seen people that have really increased their wealth.
Well, I'm going to use myself as an example, okay? You wanted a testimony, I'm going to give you an example of me.
Okay.
So at our member credit unions, remember, our member credit unions are helping people. And so when I was an entrepreneur and had raggedy credit, the CEO told me, your credit is raggedy, you're a small business owner, we got to get you together. And so they gave me the products that I needed to build up my credit. So they gave me a cash secured loan for my credit card. So I put $500 down, and so I had a credit card. They gave me a loan for my car. And as I paid on those things, and I did a good job of that, so for instance, after 2 years, I was able to not have a secured credit card, but a regular credit card that I got my $500 back in my savings, and then I had $500 a line of credit. So building, showing you how to build your credit, your net worth. They showed me that I needed a Roth IRA, those types of products that are going to help you later when you're retiring, wealth building, that type of thing. And so through your member credit unions that belong to AACUC or just credit unions in general, those are the products and services that can help you build your wealth, that can help you build your credit. Because in order to have good wealth, you must have good credit. The way to get good credit is to pay your bills on time and make sure that you don't spend more than what you're earning. So there's a way to do that, again, the budgeting process. We have a financial literacy class that we teach, Reality Fair, for children in junior high and high school. We do a reality fair. That reality fair once a year talks to children and young adults on how to, it's a simulation of a reality of they get a job, we give them play money, they get expenses of what they're supposed to do for the month. So they learn how to do that. And our credit union professionals that belong to ASUC go out in our communities and they teach that to these children. And these sessions have been life-changing for some of these students because they didn't know. There's no way that they would know from their families. They don't have that exposure. So imagine there's a twofold win-win here. You've got our credit union professionals that are financial professionals helping young people learn about budgeting and expenses and payroll taxes and things of that nature all in one session. So the reality fairs are really terrific in terms of making sure that young children are exposed at an early age.
Okay, I was going to ask you this, and I don't necessarily want you to answer it right away, but what was your credit score when it was raggedy, and what is it now? And I'll tell you, my credit score at raggedy was in the 400s, and I've had that several times when you own a business and have some property or whatever, and things happen in my personal life, and things happen out there in the economy goes down, whatever, and can't rent the places or whatever happens, and I can't make the payments. Plus, I grew up in my parents' household where paying a bill was always the last thing to do. And so my credit scores would get raggedy, and then I'd build it up to 600, 650, and something else would happen, and it'd go back down. Right now, it runs around 800. Okay. And that's through, you know, just really learning and finding out, because my business was property management. And so I would take in applications, and I would see people's credit scores. And some of them were just, I mean, I had one lady had $500,000 worth of student loans, as an example. Okay. And I'm 150, 200, whatever, but huge student loan debt. And I watched credit scores that if you're 30 day late, it can knock 10, 20, 30, 40 points off your credit scores. Something that's simple. And it seems like the credit score is rigged. In my head, this is Vernon speaking, is rigged to help the wealthy and really punish the poor. And the reason is the lower your credit score is, if you can get a loan, you're going to pay 20, 21, 29%. If you can get it, they're going to charge you. And if you can't get it, then you go to these cash checking places or places to borrow money, and it's 100%. Payback. You pay double what you borrow. So it keeps us poor. Okay. It keeps us the whole credit system for me is designed to keep people poor because they make more money off of you when you have a bad credit score. Comments on that?
You're absolutely right.
I like you. Absolutely right. All right.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Poor people have more fees than anybody. People who have better credit scores, people who have more affluence, they pay less for lots of stuff because they have choices. I remember receiving the letters in the mail, especially being an entrepreneur for so long, the letters in the mail about pre-approved, and had no idea that 39% interest is going to kill me in the end. Mm. Didn't know about that. So that's the kind of stuff we talk about when we're educating our people, making sure that they understand the difference between a charge card and a credit card. Imagine if someone had said, if you pay this bill on time every month, it will build up your credit score. When you have the money, it's not that we don't have the money. We have the money, but we haven't been trained. We haven't been taught about the importance of paying it timely, and that whether you pay it, that paying it on the 15th versus paying it on the 30th is not if your mortgage is due on the 1st, that grace period is not guaranteed to you. If you can pay it on the 1st, pay it on the 1st. Don't wait till the 15th, pay it on the 1st. And so just reimagining what our financial stuff can look like, we're just not taught. And so I'm in total agreement with you. I don't know that I would say that it's rigged. I do say that it is unfair and unjust.
That's what I mean by rigged. It's totally unfair and unjust for people that don't have. It keeps you down. Now, sometimes people have the money and they just don't pay. But there are a lot of times in my family and me at times don't even have the money to pay and have gone out and purchased something that I have now learned if there's no need, then don't buy it or don't buy the most expensive one. When you're talking about the car, lease versus purchase, well, leasing or purchasing something that's smaller, economical, blah, 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 as opposed to a big, shiny, whatever. So there's all kinds of different ways that we can get on top of credit. Do you have any other example of people or organizations that have created wealth?
There's, Climb. There's a AACC helps support an organization called Climb. And what they do is they teach young people how to have stocks and how to trade stocks and how to build wealth through purchasing of stocks. And Bob Wynn is the executive director of that program. And AACC proudly supports with their summer interns. We provide support through that. And Cornelius Blanding, we had talked about him. That organization is doing some good work as well as helping the farmers to create wealth with their land and making sure they keep as much as they can. Another organization that AACC works with is Green Path. And Green Path is an organization that is helping people with their credit and do a better job of managing their what they have, along with helping them pay off their debt so that they can have a better credit score. We partner with several organizations that are trying to help you move forward.
So, and I have it that credit is the new slave master.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, cash is no longer king.
Well, cash isn't king anymore. I got that. But having more assets on your balance sheet, having more things that you own as opposed to what you owe is king.
Yes.
And trying to get, I have it right now. I have no debt. I have one credit card. I'm sorry. I have one credit card. And my goal is to pay it off monthly.
Okay. Congratulations.
Yes. And that's because I do view credit as a new form of slavery, a new form of having people indentured, indebted, such that they have no choice. And when they have no choice, they have to get whatever somebody's given them, and that is very high interest rates and sometimes poor quality products and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have no choice. You go buy a car. You may not get a good one. Mm-hmm. And you buy it from the guy in the corner that has a lot, and you may pay more for it, and he takes back the note, and he may take the car back later, and you've paid, and all that. It's just round and round and round. New form of slavery is how I see it. So as somebody that's passionate about helping people, mm-hmm. people helping people, and you're using the financial institution of credit unions to do that, How do you rate what you're getting accomplished? Do you figure that you're getting like A work done or C work done, or and then how might you be able to improve on how you help people?
We're getting A work done. We're getting A work done, Vernon. We're just not getting it done at scale. And so that's our next mission, is to get our great work done at scale.
So you're doing A work, that's just excellent quality work for the people that you're able to touch.
Yes.
Okay. They can really get the help to have financial wealth, to close the wealth gap between whites and black. By the way, what is the wealth gap between whites and black?
See, I had that statistic. Just give me a second. Whites currently represent less than 60% of the population, but hold more than 85% of the total wealth in the U.S. So in other words, people of color represent more than 40% of the population, but hold less than 15% of total wealth in the U.S. I'm going to repeat that, Vernon. In other words, people of color represent more than 40% of the population, but hold less than 15% of total wealth in the U.S.
All right, so that's your stocks and bonds. That's your homes, everything that you own, everything that you own. When you buy a vacation, that gives you no assets.
Right.
It's you spend the money, it's gone. It's, when you buy clothes too often, you go somewhere and buy clothes, and when you bring it back, take it out of the store, it's worth 50% of what you paid for or less. So how do you buy things, use your money so that you increase the asset values? And those are cars. They depreciate also, but homes, condos, co-op. I live in a co-op unit here in D.C. So how do you get in stocks, bonds, paintings, gold? How do you get assets that have value and will increase in value?
Now, Vernon, you stepped into something that I don't talk about stuff that I don't do. So all I've got are homes and two pieces of art. So I'm not on that spectrum. Lila, your 800 score is topping my 700. So I'm looking up to you.
Well, I wasn't saying it so much because I don't have any stocks. I bought stocks and I mostly lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I need to go to climb and learn. I don't understand stocks. Stocks and options and all of those things. But buying real estate, you know, going to auction or going to like a foreclosure auction or a tax sale or some way of trying to get it or just looking around and see if you can get a good deal on some real estate. But real estate means you've got to understand what you're doing because you can't sell it if you really, really need to right away. It takes time to sell real estate. And if you're not also very, very careful, you can end up spending money every month as opposed to making money every month. But I've found that I understand real estate better than anything else. But all of these different ways of increasing wealth. Now, did your mom tell you what my mom told my sisters? And that is,
have your own money.
Have your own. You got to have your own.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then did she go as far as to tell you how to, do you put it in a little coffee tin or something and put it under the bed, or do you put it in the credit union or a bank, or do you buy something that's going to appreciate in value? What did she tell you what to do?
My mother was very progressive. She's still my shero today. She's 82 years old.
Amen.
My father died when I was 7. And so my mother made sure, and I'm the oldest, so my mother made sure that she taught me to take care of her family if something happened to her. So I was doing her banking when I was 16 at Bank of America when we lived in San Diego. My mom bought property. When my dad passed away, she had credit life and disability insurance. She had those products that made sure that we maintained what little wealth he had. Dying in the Navy, she got a stipend every month to take care of us. My mom went back to school. They gave her money to go back to school. When she bought her first home, that home had a rental house on that property.
Amen.
So my mother came from very humble beginnings. There was an outhouse at her parents' house when they grew up. But when my mom was in San Diego, she was killing the game, Vernon. She was killing it. And so her mom was a housekeeper. A maid, and my mom would go with her to learn how to do stuff. My mom took that opportunity and she learned, so she would buy, like you said, the things that are appreciating in value. She bought china. My dad sent her china when he was overseas, that kind of stuff. And my mom purchasing that house was probably the best thing she could have done for herself and us as a family. She bought a house that had another rental house on property. Mm-hmm. That was the smartest thing, you know? And so I watched my mother build wealth. And so she made sure that we knew how to work the money. So,
yeah. So my parents didn't teach me very much about money. They didn't know it, but I have an uncle, in New York, and all the time we would talk, it was he was going to start a business or I was going to start a business and we're going to do something, and how do you save money and where do you put your money? I bought my first real estate in San Diego. I bought a fourplex. So I lived in one and rented three. And the whole goal was that the three paid for my rent. I had no rent. I had no housing costs. Okay. And, yeah, that was my first one. That was 52.
So where is San Diego, Vernon?
Where is San Diego?
No, where in San Diego? Do you remember?
Oh, Alpha Imperial over in the neighborhood.
By Skyline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 I taught at San Diego State, and that was not a 15, 20 minute drive. It was okay. Good. It was good. And yeah, I take it. My uncle was, and he had bought a house in New York, and we as a family mostly didn't have. So I got it. I understand. The reason I ask you about your mom, because a lot of times the mother is the one that's telling, and particularly the daughters. My mom didn't tell me. She told my sisters. Right. Told my sisters. Mm-hmm. Okay. Every dog got to have his own bone. Okay. You got to have your own. And what wasn't also taught, though, was what do you do with the money that you save? And so too often it's in a Bible or in a book or somewhere, and it's not creating wealth. So right. I'm glad your mom is doing that. And so your mom is a great example when I said I want a testimony. You can go right to mom. Right.
Oh, mom. Yeah.
So what are you guys doing? What do you see for the future? What plans? I know you do your conferences and so forth, and you mentioned that you're not at scale yet, but what do you see or think you're going to do to try to get to where you're touching more people and more people can either join a credit union or get the training, go to Climb, go to Green Path, all these different kinds of programs to help them have a better quality of life?
Well, to quote one of my heroes, Bill Cheney, the strength of the future is measured by the leadership we provide today. I'll say that again.
Wait a minute. Say it slower.
The strength of our future is measured by the leadership we provide today. The strength of our future is measured by the leadership we provide today. Fantastic. My dear friend Bill Cheney says that. And so credit unions will innovate in order to thrive and sustain. ACUC will be part of fintech partnerships, AI. I'm working with Google and Microsoft right now, trying to make sure that we bring products and services to the credit union industry that are reliable and that will help people move forward. ACUC will continue to, in my hope, is to continue to bring a solution for the back office credit unions, the credit unions that are in our communities, that we can help sustain them, because they don't have the part of what happens for small credit unions is that they're faced with being compared to the big banks or the bigger credit unions. The smaller credit unions are where our people get taught, where our people get to go and they have the safety, they feel safe around those member representatives who are helping them advance their stuff. They understand what their mother's talking to them about. They understand the need to get that loan. So we want to make sure that we arm those small credit unions. We want to keep our tax exempt status. Let's make sure we're taking care of people in the community. And so we've got partners like NACUSCO, Inclusive and NCUA. And so with ACUC partnering up with these organizations, we're making sure that credit unions will be able to stand boldly and strongly together, because the mission is still the mission, people helping people. Again, credit unions were created, this arm of co-op, we were created to help the underserved. And in doing so, you know, making sure that people have the products and services that are best to fit their needs. That's what's important. And how can we do that?
So I did interview a lady that was head of a credit union in El Paso, Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was started in the 30s with five people putting up $10 each. And now it has $1 billion asset. And she was a teller, and she became the president. And she was Hispanic lady, little bitty lady. I think she carried a big stick.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah, that's the Craig Union. And they were even making loans for affordable housing. They were doing a lot for people that are new to the community, coming across the border. Okay. So I guess, what does a day in your life look like?
Ooh, about 100 emails. I might be doing, when we went to all virtual, my day was at least 3 different Zoom calls, 3 presentations a day. I speak a lot. I do a lot of fundraising for the organization and building relationships. Often I'm asked to be an expert panelist or get my take on some social stuff that's going on in the credit union industry. So basically just, dealing with our corporate partners, making sure that whatever questions that they have. We have over 4,500 credit unions in the system. That's not all of our membership, but that's our potential. Mm-hmm. And so we want to reach as many as we can that will assist us in helping communities of color and our African Americans have better professional lives.
So in the U.S., it's 4,500 credit unions? Is that what you said?
A little less than that now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And so as a horrible statistic I'm going to give you is of that 4,500, there's about $450 billion credit unions. Right now, we only have 11 that are led by African Americans out of 450. Only 11.
Okay.
So that's a big, hairy, audacious goal for me to get more than that.
And what message would you like to leave people with?
Ooh, be unreasonable with your kindness.
Hmm.
And reasonable with your kindness. When people don't deserve it, be kind. Because you never know what people are going through.
How does this help credit unions?
Imagine if, so a very quick story, as both of us have discussed or self-disclosed, I've been an entrepreneur. And in 2014, I was doing great with my training company. And in May, I was doing good stuff with Kaiser Permanente, and by June, everything had tanked. And my credit union called me because I couldn't make a payment on my car, and they were going to take my car. But thank God I had a relationship with them. And the lady's name was Renee. I said, Renee, my mother's paying my mortgage, and I'm working at Starbucks and Dollar General. I promise you I'll pay my car off. I paid that car off. But it's because I had that relationship that they let me do that. And so that's what credit unions bring. They have a heart for people where banks do not.
Thank you. Renee, thank you so very much for getting up. I know you're in Alaska right now, and it was 6-something when you got on the phone. So thank you so very much for getting up and talking to us today and giving us all of your insights. The strength of our future is measured by the leadership we provide today. Thank you. Let's provide some leadership. And everybody out there, we'll see you next Thursday. Please live cooperatively.
The preceding program was paid for by Everything Co-op.